كوتي هلخس في رتاية خلق عرف هلخس قيلوح هلخة جمل paragraph يود. We dedicate the learning today for a complete refuah shalama for all those that need it. Besorich Shah Choyli Yisrael. We're in the middle of a discussion about emuna, and Rav Nosson Zal is going to elaborate. Ki ikar hu emuna. Because one of the most important things in Yiddishkeit is emuna. Ki ho emuna hi ha-haskola v'ha-pesach v'ha-shar lichnois b'avoides Hashem u'b'ha-sogas alukus. Because emuna is the beginning, it's the entrance way to enter into serving Hashem and to achieving any high level understanding about Hashem. V'hi ha-soif v'ha-tachlis shel kol ha-yediyas v'ha-sogas. And it's also the end and the ultimate goal of all knowledge and deep understanding of Hashem. Bibchinas, as is brought in many Sforim, Tachlis Hayediyah Asher Loineda, that the epitome of knowledge, the highest level of knowledge, is the realization that we don't know. Just like Rav Nachman Shirin writes on the first chapter of Likut Imran, that from the fact that Rabbeinu Zal uses Yaakov Avinu there as the symbol of Chachma, Yaakov Avinu is the Shemesh, he's Chachma. Rabbeinu Zal writes this over there in chapter 1. And we know that Yaakov Ish Tam. This shows that the Iker HaSeichel is Tmimus and Pshitus. That's the real, the highest level of Seichel. Shezeu Bechinas Emuna, which is Emuna. Asher Loineida is Emuna. Kizehu HaTachlis Shel Kol HaYediyos VaHaHasogos. Sheyoyden UMasigin. Because this is really the ultimate goal of all the deep level understanding. A person who studies Gemara in depth and studies Kabbalah in depth. What are we trying to get to? I'm trying to get to the highest level of realization, she'efshir leida klal, that it's impossible for us to understand Hashem, to really understand Hashem, but rather, rak lahamin bo yisborach, but rather to believe in Hashem. Now note, so a person would say then, what's the difference between a person who's been learning for 25 years and a person who's learning for one day? Both of them can say, I don't know. I don't know anything, and I believe. The answer is that his I don't know is something completely, completely different than the one who really doesn't know. V'sehu b'chinas ani rishoin v'ani achroin umibalodai elokim. And this is what's meant, umibalodai ein elokim. This is what's meant by the pasuk in the Navi, where Hashem says, I am the beginning, I am the end, and without other than me, there is no Hashem. Ani hu bechinas malchus. The word ani usually is merames to malchus. Ani ledoidi vedoidi li. There are many bechinas emuna, kayodua, as is known in Sifrei Kabbalah, Sifrei Chassidus. Vezehu ani rishon. And that's the ani rishon va'ani achron, ki ha'haskola hi me'ha'amuna va'hasoif hu emuna. Because the beginning is emuna and the end is emuna. V'cholma, meaning as we're climbing the ladder, we start from malchus, we go higher and higher and higher till we get to chachma, and when we get to the top of chachma, we go back to malchus. We get to the malchus of the next level, the next world. And now listen to this, because this is very important. The more a person is zoche to get to know and understand, in understanding Hashem, what we're really trying to do is strengthen our emuna more and more. If a person is learning properly, then the more they learn, that they're not going to think they know much more. They're going to realize how much they don't know. They're going to realize how much greater Hashem is than they thought he was before they learned all of this knowledge. They're not closing the gap on Hashem, like I'm getting closer to Hashem and now Hashem is not that much bigger than me. It's the opposite of that. The higher a person goes in Yediyah of Yiddishkeit, the more we realize how far, how much further away Hashem is from our level. And this is the most important goal of all learning, depth, deep learning about Hashem. The most important goal is to strengthen one's emunah. V'halkein tzrichin Rebbe Gadol b'Yoser, and therefore this requires an incredible high-level teacher, Rebbe, sheyucha lahachnes hasogas alakus afilu b'hapchusim v'hashvolim moed moed, who has the ability to bring high-level understanding of Hashem, to bring it down even to the lowest people. Ki kol ha-hasogas v'hayidiyos heim rak b'chinas moti v'loy moti. Because in actuality, when we talk about a person achieving a very high-level understanding of Hashem, we should never think that we really grasp it completely. But rather, as the Sifrei Kabbalah explain, it's like a person jumping up to reach something that's out of their reach. And they're jumping up, and sometimes they can touch it. They can touch it, or they can almost grab onto it, but they cannot grab onto it. That's called mati, reaching, v'loy mati. I'm reaching it, but I'm not reaching it. I'm touching it, but I'm definitely not grasping it. I'm definitely not getting a hold on it. Begin the less machshava tfisa beklal, because the Zohar Kodesh tells us, no human mind can grasp Hashem. We cannot grasp Hashem. Question in the chat, can we explain how emunah can be both the beginning and end goal of Yiddishkeit? How is emunah on those levels different? The answer is, on every level, let's say when we talk about a child going into class in ninth grade, starting high school, the child begins, they just graduated elementary school, and the child feels so smart, 8 years of learning, 8 years, so much accumulated, so much knowledge acquired each year, and each year they thought they were finished, and now in eighth grade they learned so many things that they didn't learn till then. Wow, they're at the top. Now they go into high school, brand new beginning. They're told this is brand new. Everything you did till now was baby stuff compared to what's happening now. Now you're bringing a new, brand new notebook. Leave all your notebooks from elementary school behind. That was all introduction. Starting fresh, brand new. And start learning in 9th grade, 10th grade, 11th grade, 12th grade. Get to a certain peak, again, accumulating more knowledge, more knowing, more and more and more. And then if the person decides to go to a higher level learning, to whatever it is, to medical school or this, that, again, they have to put aside what they learned till then and know it was all introduction. It was all a basic introduction. Now I'm starting a whole completely new level of learning that's going to make what I did in high school look look small time, you know, in comparison. This is this concept of acquiring more and more knowledge and getting to a certain high level of knowledge, but realizing that that's only within a certain framework. That's elementary school, then high school, then Lavdal University, then graduate school, levels and levels. And on each level, when a person gets to the top of that level, the next level is clearing the screen completely, knowing that I'm going back to zero. I'm starting from zero on the new level. That zero is emunah. It's malchus. It's the dalit, poor, the less lamigarba klum. If a person comes into high school with an arrogance that I know everything, they're not going to be able to absorb the new knowledge because I know everything. It's only if a person is able to clear the registers completely, I don't know anything, I'm starting to learn right now, then that person can really absorb and benefit from all of that knowledge. And again, when a high school person says, when a graduate of high school says there are things I don't know, that's a lot different than a kid who graduated elementary school who says there are things I don't know. There's vast difference. So the emunah on each level, the emunah of a person who has not learned much, and the emunah of a person who's learned a lot is completely different levels if they're learning properly. Rav Nosson Zal is going to clarify this also now in this paragraph. Paragraph Yud Aleph. Ki be'emes, al pi chochmois, bevadai I efshir lahasigoi v'leida mimenu klal. If a person wants to use just knowledge and intellect to be able to understand Hashem and to be able to connect Hashem, they will definitely not succeed. ki yuchal lisois b'chachmosai moi, because a person can veer off course with their intellectualism in a big way, kederach shemavoichu hamachakrim, like the philosophers and some of the scientists, with all their knowledge, ended up veering off course and coming up with all kinds of wrong, false conclusions. Some of them, which people realize already are false, and some which we haven't discovered yet, that their falseness. Rachmona Litzlan. At shebo lapikursis gomor al yidei to'us chachmosam hanavoicha. To the point where some of these deep thinkers, these philosophers, these scientists, have come to total denial of Hashem through their intellectuality, through their studies and their knowledge. V'alkein, and therefore, ho ikar hi emuna. The most important thing is emuna, faith, never letting go of that, and always realizing that that's my strongest connection to Hashem. Avol, here comes the avol. Avol, however, tzrichin lahachyois esu emuna, ulachazko, alidei hamshochas hachius me'or haponim, shehu hasechel. However, since emuna is malchus, since emuna has no light of its own, since emuna is I don't know, we can't just stay with I don't know. We have to draw chias into that. We have to draw seichel into that, coming from the oyer haponim. This is always, again, the chapter one in Likud Imran, Rabbeinu Zal establishes that fact, that there's chochma and malchus, there's zohar and akeva, there's the sun and the moon, there's the rabbi and the student, and there's always the need, you need both of them. V'ze nase alidei tzadikei hador daiko hagedoilim b'maylo yeseira daiko. And this, to be able to draw seichel from a pure holy place, from the oyer haponim of Hashem, and be able to bring it down, all the way down, to us and to the lowest people, that's accomplished by the tzadikim of the generation who are on the highest levels. Sheheim oiskim lahachnois bonu emunasli agdoisha. They are involved in infusing us with holy emuna. Ubechol hatoirois vahasokois shemegalim lanu. And through all the Torah and the high level understanding of Hashem that they reveal to us, with that, they infuse life and strength to our emuna. Note where we're putting what the goal is, what the tachlis is. The goal is the highest levels of emuna. Emuna needs chachma, emuna needs seichel to give it chias. Without seichel and chachma, it doesn't have certain chias that it needs. Ki afal pi sha'anu royin, umevinin, she'einon umevinin devreim klal, because even though we see and we realize that we really don't understand the words of these great, great tzaddikim at all, v'anu royin me'rochoik, she'chachmosam hagedoylo ne'elam v'rochoik me'etonu me'oid, and we see from the distance that the chachma of these tzaddikim is way beyond us. The chachma of the Arizal, the chachma of the Baal Shem Tov, the tzaddikim, Rabbeinu Zal, all of these tzaddikim, we see that it's way, way beyond us. Afal pikein, despite that, kol chad kefoman de mishar b'libei, yochoy lehisnoitzitz boi me'at remozim gedoylim v'chazokim, still, each and every one of us, based on our heart, based on where we're at in our connection with Hashem, we can feel a little bit, we can get hints, powerful hints, as to how much we have to strengthen ourselves with emuna, and then kulai hai v'ulai. And with all of this, maybe, yizke gamkein leida ulahasik tzas. Maybe we will also be zeicha to get to have a little bit of an understanding about Hashem. Lachso is benoyam Hashem ulevaker becholoi. To be zeicha to gaze at the splendor of Hashem and to visit in the palace, in the throne room of Hashem. The Zohar Kodesh explains, noyam Hashem is always bina, that's the upper shechina. Heichal is the malchus, the lower shechina. Heichal is bigematria aleph, dalet, nun, yud. So this pasuk lachsois benoyam Hashem to be zoicha to see, to gaze at the noyam Hashem. Gaze means from far. Lachsois to means from far in a sense. Ulevaker and to visit in the heichal Hashem, in the lower shechina, the malchus. Listen to this next line. Asher noyam arevus mesikus hisnoitet susecho, because the incredible sweetness of one tiny drop of light of Hashem, Yef Shalashaya, we can't fathom how sweet that is. Uchedai lisboil kol hayisurin sheboilam, and it's worth enduring all the suffering that a person goes through and all the suffering of the world. Uleshaber kol hataivos, and to struggle to overcome all of the materialistic desires. Ulehisyageya v'letroyach avodas Hashem, bechol hatirchos v'yegiyos u'bemesiras nefesh be'emes, and to struggle in serving Hashem with every possible type of struggle and effort and self-sacrifice, be'emes, for real, b'shvil arevus ne'imus hisnoitet susechad, in order to taste one drop of that incredible sweetness, of the incredible, the high light of Hashem. Just like the Gemara says, that 1 second, one fraction of a second in Gehenna is worse than all the suffering in the world combined, multiplied by 1,000. Lahavdel, Rav Nosson Zal is telling, reminding us here, that one taste of the real sweetness of Hashem, of an understanding of Hashem, makes everything worth it. A billion struggles and a billion effort, all the effort is worth it. If a person experiences one taste of that, it far exceeds all the pleasures of this world combined, multiplied by a billion. Ashrei hazoicha lirdoif achazeh b'emes. Fortunate is the person who will really, really pursue this, who will really pursue this path of working, trying to be zoicha temuna shlema, and coming close to the true tzaddikim, whose mission is to infuse us with emuna shlema. How do they do it? They reveal incredible high-level Torahs. They're able to take incredible, incredible high-level concepts and bring it down to a level that we can relate to. Not that we grasp it, we realize that we're very, very far from having a real full understanding of the words of these great tzaddikim, but we get it enough to realize how far we are, to realize how little we know, to realize how great Hashem is, and thereby strengthen our emunah in Hashem. And through this combination, these tzaddikim give us a taste of Olam Haba, a taste of the Noyam Hashem, you know, this incredible sweetness. And again, Rav Nosson Zal says, when you get a taste of that, you know that nothing, nothing in the physical world comes close in a billion miles of the high that a person experiences when they're experiencing that connection to Hashem. Any questions?
How possible is it to experience this, call it divine bliss? Unless one is totally dedicated, and even then, you know, as the Gemara says, we'll be shimon. I mean, how many people can really experience this? Yes, we have Rabbeinu Zal, and we have his pathway connected to the tzaddik, but to have this experience, it's the most delightful pleasure, but how accessible is it really?
The answer is, and this is an important rule in Yiddishkeit and in Breslov, every single person definitely can experience this on their level. On their level. Everything we learn about the great tzaddikim, we learn about Rabbeinu Zal as a child who used to come to shul early Friday afternoon and beg Hashem, I want to see Shabbos. I want to experience, I want to feel what Shabbos is. And he'd cry and cry and cry. And then people would start coming into the shul. He'd put his head into one of the stenders. Nobody should see. He was a little kid. And then when he would take his head out and look, he would see the lights in the shul, it says. And it would seem to him like he's seeing this divine light of Hashem. He's seeing, you know, we know that he definitely did experience it. And Rav Nosson Zal writes in a few places in Likutei Halachos that everything that's written about the great tzaddikim, the fact that it's in these forum is a message to us that we also can definitely relate to it and experience it on our on our level. There are definitely times when a person who has exploited us and a person who tries to make a sincere effort to come close to Hashem will experience a certain high, a certain connection. And when a person does experience that, they can tell that this is way above. This is nothing like ice cream or chocolate or other or the pleasures in this world. This is something completely different and above that. Again, each and every person on their level. And the fact that he's writing it here is telling us that this is what we're supposed to strive for. This is what's supposed to yearn for. This is the goal. And to know that we can get to it on different levels at each time as we're growing in our Yiddishkeit, we can experience this on different levels. We have this story that we told about the Bat Ayin coming to Eretz Yisrael, that he wanted to feel the Kiddusha of Eretz Yisrael, and through sincere tefillah, he did get it. But a lot has to do with the hachana for a mitzvah. You know, preparing. For example, Hanukkah. In Breslau, the custom to say the Likutei Tefillos on Hanukkah. There are some people that go to the mikveh before lighting the candles. And again, in Hespoidedus, we're in the middle of Hanukkah now, to plead with Hashem. The Torah tells us that this is a nuclear holiday. This makes Putin's missiles and all of that stuff look like little toys that three-year-olds are playing with. The missiles that Hashem is shooting in the world now, the great bright light of Hanukkah, each one of these candles. And to beg Hashem, help me be zeche to believe in the holiness of these yantivs. Help me be zeche to learn as much as I can about it. And help me be zeche to feel it, to feel the spiritual high of a yantiv. Another question. Are we supposed to be Doiresh and Roidef Emuna or Chachma? The answer is both. We're supposed to be seeking and chasing to increase our Emuna every single day. We say in the morning, Moedani Lefanecha, Shechazarta Binishmosi Bechemla, Rabba Emuna Secha, great is faith in you. And again, Rabba Emuna Secha means I want to increase my faith every day. That's the opening statement when a person wakes up in the morning before washing Negel Vasa. Rabba Emuna Secha. Reminding myself that the most important thing in Yiddishkeit and in life is emuna, and it's all about Rabba Emuna Sech. It's all about increasing the emuna. That's the adding the new candle every day that we're doing now. Moisif Oheilich, increasing our emuna. But emuna is not complete without its partner. It needs chachma. It needs chiyus. We have to infuse chiyus into the emuna. That's why they went to the Beis Hamikdash, to see the Oyer Haponim of Hashem. That's why we go to a tzaddik. That's why we learn Torah. To receive, we go to the tzaddik because the tzaddik's a combination of both. Chachma and Emunah. We're getting both from him. We study Torah to put Chiyus into our Emunah. Now Rav Nosson Zal goes into a beautiful, clear explanation about the Yom Tov of Pesach. He mentioned Pesach earlier, that's the beginning of all the holidays. Explaining what matzah is, what chametz is, on a very, very high, clear level. V'zeh b'chinas matzah, ki b'Pesach nizgale oyer godol b'yoyser kamuva. Because the Arizal reveals to us that on the night of Pesach, Hashem revealed an incredible, incredible high level of light. V'zeh ho'oyer i'efsher lahasigoy b'shum oifen. And that light we definitely cannot achieve. We can't grasp it whatsoever. Bifrat, especially Koidem Matan Torah. Since we're up to Pesach, which is 50 days before Shavuos, we haven't gotten the Torah yet. She'ein lanu kelim lahasigoi, which means we don't have vessels into which to receive and achieve that light. Ki kol hakelim vahashurim vatsinsumim nasim rak al yedei haTorah hakdoisha. Because one of the most important ways that we prepare vessels, that we have vessels into which the light of Hashem can be received and related to, is the Torah, the letters and the words and the boundaries of the Torah. Bechinas shiura diasfon d'oraisa, as the Zohar Kodesh refers to the measurements of the Torah. V'al kein oz b'Pesach b'tchilas hisgalus elokus yisborach. Therefore, on Pesach, which is the beginning, when Hashem is first revealing Himself to the Jewish people as a nation, tzrichen lizoher moed afilu mimashu chametz. We have to be extremely careful to avoid even the tiniest drop of chametz. V'lo yeroe, you're not even allowed to see it in your possession. V'lo yimotza, and it's not even allowed to be present in your possession, even if you don't see it. Se'or v'chometz b'chol v'leinu klal, not allowed to have any of it whatsoever. Ki chometz hi b'chinas chimutz hamoyach. Because the term chometz also means when a person dwells on something. Chimutz hamoyach means the fermenting of the brain. Just like how do grapes ferment? You have to leave them for a while. Leave them soaking for a while, they ferment. Chimutz hamoyach means when a person is thinking a lot about something. Bechinas chochmois v'chakiris. This refers to those types of chochmois and chakiris, philosophical type of thinking. Bechinas ki yischametz levovi. As the pasuk says, when my heart will ferment or sour or spoil. Here the term chometz is being used to refer to fermenting in a sense of spoiling. She'omar Dovid HaMelech Alav Shalom al ha'chochmois v'ha'chakirois ho'olam alev ha'odom. Dovid HaMelech in that pasuk is referring to the types of secular wisdoms and philosophy that enters into the heart of a person, ha'roitzim l'torodoy min olam chashom, which want to destroy the person. They want to take the person out of the world by getting the person to delve philosophically, to try to understand things philosophically. Vehine bechol shashana kula she'ein ho'er godol kach. Throughout the rest of the year, when the light of Hashem is not burning so brightly as it was on that first night of Pesach, v'gam shekvar kibalnu haTorah, and especially if it's after Shavuos, when we already received the Torah, shehi kula shiurin v'tzimtzumim lahasogas elokus yisborach, the Torah is all vessels and constrictions into which we can receive Hashem's light in a positive way. Alkein onu yecholim lechol hachometz ve'enon mazik lanu klal. That's why we're allowed to eat chometz throughout the rest of the year, and it doesn't do any harm at all. Why? Ki kvar emunaseinu chazoko al yidei haTorah kedusha. Because our emuna is already solid because we already received the Torah. This is after Shavuos, number one, but even after Pesach, the fact that we know today, we received the Torah a few thousand years ago, that already gives us that solid emuna that allows us to eat chametz during that period of time. Bebechinas kol mitzvoisecha emuna. As the pasuk says, all of the mitzvahs are emuna, give us emuna. V'alkein, afal pi sho'ich lenoz chametz, and therefore, even though we're eating chametz throughout the rest of the year, except for Pesach, ein mizgaper al yedei zeh chimutz hamoyach klal. It does not cause any fermentation, any spoilage in our brain whatsoever. Whereas aval achshav bePesach she'oz hascholas hisgalus elokus yisborach, whereas on Pesach, which was the beginning of when Hashem started to reveal His great light to us, v'oz nizgale oyer godol milamala beli isarusa de lesato klal. And on Pesach there was a unique situation, the Sifrei Kabbal explained, where Hashem was forced to jump in and rescue us, even though we didn't really do anything to deserve it. It was all that great light that comes down on that first night of Pesach is all isarusa de leila. It's all a gift, a freebie from Hashem in a sense. This incredible great light. Because if Hashem had waited for us to make a move, we would never have gotten out of Mitzrayim, chas v'shalom. Because we were so deeply steeped in the tumah of Mitzrayim. Al kein hoyo ha-hechrech she'yizgale oz oyer godol b'yoyser. Therefore, Hashem was forced to turn on this incredible bright light that satisfied all the requirements of Isarusa Delele, Isarusa Lasata, everything, to just jump in and rescue us, pull us out of there. Kimuva Bekavonas Pesach, the Pri Etz Chaim, as the Arizal explains all of this in his Sefer. Vehine bo'or ha-godol hazeh, in this great light that's revealed on that first night of Pesach, ein lanu shum tfisa klal. We cannot grasp that at all whatsoever. Rak, however, so then what's the purpose of it? Then what does it do for us? Rak al yidei hizgalu so'or ha-godol hazeh. However, as a result of Hashem revealing that incredible high-level light, every Jewish soul who observes Pesach, who observes the Antifa Pesach, and fulfills the mitzvahs of Pesach, and prepares for Pesach, takes a haircut to prepare for Pesach, goes to the mikveh, bathes for Pesach, and buys the special food, spends money for Yontif, buys new clothes for Pesach, all the different, and pleads with Hashem to be zeicher to experience Pesach, al yidei zeh misoirer hanefesh behisoirus godol lavaydos yisborach. That person's soul will get turned on with an incredible high, an incredible feeling drawn to Hashem, behishtoikikus nimrotz moed, with an incredible deep yearning for Hashem, because even though the person doesn't really see that light physically, his neshama sees it and feels it and experiences it. So here's an example where Rabbi Nosson Zal is explaining to us what's going on on all holidays, Shabbos, Hanukkah, there's this tremendous light. What does it have to do with me? The answer is, depending on the degree that I believe in it, if I believe in it, and if I make whatever efforts I can within emuna and chachma to connect to it, the emuna through tefillah and believing in it, the chachma learning about it, learning about Shabbos, learning about Chanukah, learning about Yom Tov, through those efforts, emuna combined with tefillah combined with seichel, a person will be able to experience that their soul will get turned on with a deep yearning for Hashem, a yearning and longing for Hashem. And you see this, sometimes you're in shul, I know in our shul on a Friday night, sometimes they're singing L'chadoidi, and I'll see a person start dancing, and they're not faking it. They're feeling a high, they're turned on. How did they get turned on? Could be by, through his spoilers, through could be by learning about you, through the combination of all of these things, and coming to the tzaddik, coming to the shul of the tzaddik, and coming to the tzaddik in all the different ways. A person is zeicher to this, that the nefesh is misoyer behisoyerus godol avodos yisborach, b'shtoikikus nimratz moed. And again, Rav Nosson Zal is writing this for everyone, for all of us, for the men, for the women, for the children. This will also explain why we had to run out of Egypt in a hurry. As the Pasuk says, they were chased out of Egypt and they couldn't wait. They didn't even have time to prepare food. Here comes an incredible, incredible advice regarding a person who has fallen into any type of tumah, any type of impurity, any type of yirida or nefila. This applies to every single one of us all the time. Ki kol echad v'echad, kol zman shehu mishuka b'tayvois v'hev lo yoylam hazeh, ze b'chinas golus Mitzrayim ki yadua. Each and every single one of us, so long as we're still involved and steeped in the taivos and foolishness of this world, we are in a state of Golus Mitzrayim. That's called Golus Mitzrayim. That's called exile. We're not inside of the Kedusha. We're not inside Eretz Yisrael. We're not inside the holiness. V'yesh anoshim shehem ishukoim ma'oid betumas Mitzrayim. There are people who are very steeped in the Tumah of Mitzrayim, in the idols of their sins, Rabbi Elazar writes in Sefer Amidos that sins inject apikursis, atheism, into a person. Every avera steals some emuna from a person, weakens the person's emuna. And because the person is steeped in all of this garbage, in very much so, alkein eifshel hoitzioi mishom bishum toychacha o musar. You cannot extricate the person from there. You cannot get the person out of there by rebuking them and telling them you're a big Russia. You know what you're doing is terrible. Because the person has already become so attached to the foolishness, to the sins, to the point where it's impossible to get them out of there whatsoever. If you're going to want to try to tell that person Torah or give them words of Musar, on their level. Avol Hashem Yisborach Choshev Machshavos Leval Yidach Mimenu Nidach. However, Hashem is always thinking and figuring out ways to see to it that no Jew should be left behind. No Jew should be rejected. V'al kein Hu Yisborach Berachamov Shaleach Loi Lefa'amim His Noitzitzus Godoil V'His Oirus Godoil Beliboi Sheyoshuv L'Hashem Yisborach. And therefore, Hashem sends that person a light, a blast of light, an inspiration to get the person, to turn the person on, to return to Hashem. Sheze b'chinas kruza deleila, kayadua. This is what the Gemara refers to in some places, that there's a heavenly announcement, that there's an announcement from heaven that says, shuvu bonim shuv. What does that have to do with me? The answer is that announcement, the heart of a Jew feels that sometimes. V'tzorech ha'odom sheyochu sal nafshoi, and a person has to have rachmonis on themselves. We have to have pity on ourselves. V'tekev kishibol of ha'hisoyrus l'tshuva, and the moment that that person feels that inspiration to want to do tshuva, tekev umiyad yemaher lehimolet al nafshoi, to immediately pick up their feet and run, get out of there, escape, and not look behind at all whatsoever. As it says in the Torah, when Hashem said that he was going to wipe out the city of Sodom because they were so evil, such Rishoim, the instruction to Lot was, get out of there, maher hi molet al nafshecha, hurry, save yourself, run, get out of there quickly, al tabit acharecha, don't look back. Bechinas, as the pasuk says, oirach chayim pentafales, the path of life, be careful that you shouldn't rebel against it, you shouldn't go against it. Machmashuhu meshuka b'shtusim u'bilbulim v'tayves kol kach, because of the fact that the person is so deeply entrenched in their foolishness, in their taivos, in their nonsense. Al kein takeif kishemaschel lachshoiv eichuma, that person, if they'll stop to think, 1 minute, what, how am I going to do it? How am I going to become religious? How, what? The minute, ube'eza oifen yivrach mitavosle, and exactly how am I going to get rid of that taiva? How am I going to stop smoking? How am I going to stop vaping? How am I going to stop playing with my phone? How am I going to stop doing all of that? If he's going to start thinking about it, ube'eza derech yiske l'tshuva, and exactly how am I going to do tshuva, bevadai yachzor ve'yoshuv le'ivalter chashon. The person's going to fall right back into the mud, into the pit, into their foolishness. Machmas shehu meshuka u'mevulvol ma'oid ma'oid, because the person is in a state where they're so deeply sunken into it, and they're in such a state of confusion. Therefore, if they're going to try to think, it's going to just set them back. They're just going to fall right back in. Al kein, therefore, betchilas his oirus ha-tshuva. When a person first gets turned on to tshuva, tzorech livroyach miyad, the person has to escape immediately, get out. Miyad shemesor, the minute they feel that his oirus, run, get out. And don't look back, no matter what. The person should have rachmanis on themselves, and run away quickly from whatever they need to run away, whatever their taiva is, whatever the thing is. This is the lesson in this holiday of Pesach. That's when the Jewish nation got out of the mud, out of the filth, out of Mitzrayim, which was the filthiest place on earth. Because then Hashem revealed a very high level light from above. And then the Jews left immediately in a big rush. They couldn't wait. They couldn't procrastinate. Had they hesitated for 1 second, they would have been stuck there permanently. Kamuva, as is brought in the Alshech HaKodesh, in Parsha Shmos. I remember as a kid in high school, the first part of high school, I went to Yeshiva Torah V'das. The second part of high school, my parents switched me. They wanted me to get into a good college. And they were told, you can't do that from Torah V'das. So they switched me to a much more modern high school. In this modern high school, they had a custom on Purim. Purim is fun. What was the fun? To make fun of the entire administration. It was called a chagiga. They had a beautiful celebration, one of the days of Purim, in the evening. Everybody came, and they put on plays and skits, making fun of each and every person. And a lot of it was ugly. A lot of it was ugly fun. You could imagine, these weren't Talmidei Chachamim, these weren't Tzaddikim. So their version of fun, as we find in the world, this is a common thing in the world. One of the types of humor is making fun of other people or fun of other things that people do, even if they're sacred, even if they're holy and important. One year, there were a couple of people who were more religious that decided, let's see if we could do this. Let's see if we could turn this around a little bit. And they brought a chazan. We got permission from the school like to bring him and to pay. We had to pay for it, obviously. Not only that, but the school gave us permission to have beer. They brought a keg of beer to the chagiga because this time we were going to do it much more religious. You know, we're going to do it, you know. And sure enough, the first day for the chagiga was unbelievable. I remember there was dancing like on Simchas Torah in a good religious shul. People were on each other's shoulders, dancing, singing. This chazan was singing beautiful. So it was fabulous, fabulous. Then it came time for the skit, the performance. And what happened was, it started a little bit okay, and then veered off course. Went back to ugly, ugly sarcasm, ugly making fun and that kind of thing. And I remember the feeling that it was like so sad that it looked like there was almost an opportunity that these kids who never experienced that kind of thing, they never experienced a real Simchas Torah, a holy Simchas Torah. Dancing, these kids were into rock music at the time. There was no such thing as Jewish music for them. It was all rock and roll, hard rock, the things that they were listening to in the 1800s when I was in high school. Not exactly. But that was the music, and suddenly this was all kosher, glatt kosher, beautiful Jewish music, and everybody got into it and everything. But it was so easy to slide right back. You don't know, a person doesn't know that when a person is steeped, when a person's addicted to something, whatever taiva it is, that they're in a critical state. And in order to get out of it, you have to run. You have to run and get out. Out means get out completely. And not look, no looking back. No turning back. We're going to see Rav Nosson Zal is going to elaborate on that now. V'gam osur loy oz lahaschil lachshev al parnosa. Rav Nosson Zal anticipates one of the major weapons of the Yetzer Hara, the Satan, for people who are not religious, or a person who's less religious. And now we're telling him to become religious, which involves spending time going to shul 3 times a day, learning Torah. I'm going to do all of this. Well, how am I going to make money? How am I going to survive? V'gam osur loy oz lahaschil lachshev al parnosa. When a person has to get out of Mitzrayim, When a person realizes they're in an emergency state, they're in a very, very bad place, that's not the time to be thinking about parnasa. Im kein mehechon yisparnes. Because if I become religious or if I become more religious, what am I going to do for parnasa? Rak yivtach b'shem. But rather, at that moment, at that time, the path is to trust in Hashem, v'yashlich olav yisborach yehovoi, and to place all of his needs, all of his concerns on Hashem, v'hu yechalkaleu. Hashem will support him. V'zeh b'chinas v'gam tzedo lo yosu lohem. Why does the Torah tell us this? We know that every word in the Torah is $1 billion. What do I care if they took lunch boxes with them or not? Ooh, that's Torah? That's Torah. That's Torah. To know that when a person is running out of Mitzrayim, don't think about lunch. Don't think about what am I going to eat. Shekishetzrichen livroyach mimashetzrichen livroyach. When a person needs to escape from what they need to escape, mipach yoikshim, from that trap, osur lachshev al parnosa v'tzeda, at that time, it's forbidden to think about parnasa or lunch boxes. Ki bevadai kishenoiflem al adam roitzchem v'gazlonim oichayes roes. Rav Nosson Zal says, when a person is suddenly attacked by murderers or thieves, v'hu memar levroch mihem, and he decides to run for his life, bevadai einoi choyshev oz mehechen yisparnes ki yotzei. At that moment, he's not thinking, what am I going to do for parnasa? When a person is running away from a murderer, a guy with a gun who's looking to kill him. Mikol shkein, how much more so? Kishe'odom tzorech levroyach min hasho'el tachti esumitachtav. When a person has to run away from the lowest level of Gehenna, and what's below that? Umi sure oilam l'chai oilam, and from eternal suffering. When a person wants to run away from Gehenna, from going into Gehenna forever, how to what degree does that person need to run and escape for his life? And not turn back at all, not look back. Because at that time he cannot procrastinate, he cannot delay. He's got to run quick. And don't talk about, but don't deal with parnasa then. Run for your life. V'yiftach b'Hashem, and rely on Hashem, v'yishoyin b'leikov, and lean on Hashem, ki lo yazveo, because Hashem will not forsake him.
Parnasa, interesting, not sure there's a connection, but say that parnasa, those are two out of the three main types that the Vedas all talks about anyways, the food and the parnasa.
Food and money, you mean. Parnasa meaning money, exactly. A point that Seda and Parnasa represent two of the major taivas that Rabbeinu Zal refers to. Taivas Achila and Taivas Mamon. Yes. But note, we're talking about when a person is in emergency mode. When a person's running away from a murderer. He's not saying that religious people should never go to work, should never do anything for Parnasa. He's saying when a person realizes that they're in a very desperate situation, at that moment, run for your life. In Rav Nosson Zal's biography, in Rav Nosson Zal's story, we know that Rav Nosson Zal, when he first got married, the relationship was that they had a store. His father was wealthy, and his father-in-law was a very, very prominent great rabbi. And Rav Nosson Zal spent years learning. And then at a certain point, they set up a store for him and his wife, and the wife would stay in the store most of the time, but every evening, Rav Nosson Zal would go over with her the cheshbonos, do cheshbonos, to give her pricing on certain things she'd know the prices of, and to see what was going on. And Rav Nosson Zal would tell Rabbeinu Zal what was going on in his life, and when Rabbeinu Zal heard this, he said, a person like you, every night you have to spend time on this? Maybe you could do it once a week, that kind of thing. And Rav Nosson Zal started doing it once a week. And gradually, Rabbeinu Zal took him out of work because Rabbeinu Zal knew that this is the 1 in 1,000 people who's qualified to be learning full-time and who's qualified to become a tzaddik and a goyim and to write sforim like this and to be able to help the entire Klal Yisrael in an incredible way. And at one point, his father got upset by this, and his wife was upset, couldn't handle this and everything. And the father started complaining and everything. And at one point, the father had business partners. And the business partners understood, they saw who Rav Nosson Zal was and everything. So at one point, they said, give us back all the merchandise. We're going to sell it, and we'll give you the results, the profits of it. And again, Rav Nosson Zal knew that for him, on his level, this was his mission. Despite the fact that he grew up in a house of wealth, and he ended up selling many things that he had, expensive things that he had, and he ended up living the second part of his life in poverty, struggling, having to ask for help for Yontif and things like that. But he understood that in order for him to be able to accomplish what he needed to accomplish to make his contribution to Klal Yisrael, the Likutei Halachos, the Likutei Tfilos, the Likutei Maran, all his form of Rabbein Azal said, if not for him, we wouldn't have one page. Rav Nosson Zal understood that this is what was required for him and his family. This sacrifice, in a sense. Rabbein Azal writes in Sipuri Maisius, in the story of the Baal Tefillah, that when the Baal Tefillah would be makar of people, each and every person he dealt with individually. One person, he understood that person needed poverty. Even if he came from wealth, he made sure that that person got poverty. Another person he understood needed to wear gold buttons. He gave that person had the gold buttons. The tzaddik is the one who really understands what each person's need, what each person's path is in being able to achieve their success in serving Hashem. And each person has to be mispalel for this, to be able to know how much time to devote for parnosa, how much time to devote for Torah, for avodas Hashem, etc. Am I a yisachar? Am I a zvulun? Or am I a healthy combination of both? The Chayyadam writes in the introduction to his Sefer, the Chayyadam was one of the great outstanding Rabbonim in his time. I believe it's in the early 1800s or in the 1700s when the Chayyadam lived. And he spent his early years learning, obviously becoming one of the Gedolei Ador. And then at a certain point, he had to go out and work. And he writes in the introduction to his Sefer that all of my friends can testify that even when I was working, during the times I had to travel to different places to do business, I always had Sfarim with me. And every opportunity that I could possibly learn Torah, I never missed an opportunity. I was always reviewing my learning and studying and studying. He's writing this for a person to know that his Sefer isn't being written by an Amoritz. And a person, we know that Chayyadam is one of the pillars in Halacha, in terms of an authority. So we see that it was possible, even while going to work, to be able to remain connected to Torah. We know that there are some people today, working people, who are around their third Siyum on Shas, learning Daf Yomi. There are people that say Daf Yomi is for babies. Daf Yomi is for people who can't learn. That's not real learning. These people who are not really learning are on their third time around Shas, and there are some people who are really learning, and they haven't covered a third of Shas yet. They think they're really learning. They don't know that really learning is a combination of Bekiyas and Ian, and it means really covering a lot of ground. It's not so simple. We'll hold it over here for now. We're in the middle of a paragraph. We'll continue tomorrow, Mitzvah Shem.